The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and exclaimed, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me." He said this in reference to the Spirit that those who came to believe in him were to receive. There was, of course, no Spirit yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Gospel of the Lord. Before I begin, I would first like to announce to all of you a spoiler alert. But if by now, 9 years later, you have neither read the books nor seen the movies, you probably never will. The last novel of the Harry Potter series has had a great many Christian analyses and lectures and books written about it, many images in it that Christian theologians or teachers have gone to town with as the climax of this seven-novel series. And at the very climax of this book, Harry Potter has been killed by the evil Lord Voldemort, having willingly surrendered himself to the killing curse and the vengeance of the evil Lord Voldemort, who has spent this time seeking to destroy Harry. And in a moment of triumph for the evil Lord, the good giant Hagrid is carrying the body of Harry back to Hogwarts School, where after a great battle, the students and teachers are observing their defeat. This person that they've been protecting for these years is now dead. But one student stands up and refuses to kneel before the victory of Lord Voldemort. The unlikely Neville Longbottom, who was more the wimpy, awkward kid throughout those books, had been the one student to stand up in the midst of the evil takeover of Hogwarts, and now, in the midst of hopelessness and defeat, refuses to kneel before the evil Lord Voldemort. So Voldemort, in response, takes what Neville has in his hand, an old, tattered hat known simply as the Sorting Hat, places it on Neville's head, and then lights it aflame so that Neville's head is now on fire. It is at that point, as the novel says, a number of things take place all at once. First, the crowd is shocked because Neville is now engulfed in flame, his head aflame with fire, but he is not injured by the flame. In that distraction, Harry Potter, who has returned from that experience of the killing curse, leaps out of Hagrid's arms and reveals himself as not really dead. And in the awe of all that, Neville takes the hat from his head, reaches into the flaming hat, and magically pulls out a sword which in a previous appearance in this novel had been described at first as looking like a great silver cross. And it is at that point that the tide is turned against the evil, the good gets the encouragement and an upper hand, and the final battle takes place in which the evil is destroyed. All this taking place at once, beginning with a head aflame with fire. Today we celebrate the last day of our Easter season, which in fact our gospel states as the greatest day of the feast, on the last day of the feast, which is the greatest day. We celebrate the end of our 50 days of Easter. At the end of Mass, we will snuff out the candle that was lit at the Easter Vigil. And we bring to a close our celebration of the resurrection of Christ with the celebration of that day when the Holy Spirit first entered into the church and inspired the apostles to bring forth that gospel of Christ. On that day, a number of things happened all at once. We, of course, have the luxury of reading the story as it unfolds from the birth of Jesus throughout his life, his death, and his resurrection. But it was on that day that these men, these apostles, first made their appearance with their heads alight with fire. And it is on that day that they first introduced to the world this person known as Jesus of Nazareth, who once was thought dead, but now for the first time The world is receiving the news that he is risen. The people are in awe of these men, their inspiration, and the message, and so enthralled are they that many of them seek to join the company of these believers, and it is said that 3,000 were added to that day, their numbers. People from all over the Roman Empire, Jewish people who had engaged in what is called a diaspora throughout the Roman Empire, who were now in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, the Jewish Feast of Pentecost, many of whom no longer spoke Hebrew or spoke Aramaic, but spoke Greek, spoke Latin, spoke whatever language of the country in which they had settled, now understanding clearly the message of the apostles and this new figure they had never heard of before, who now had a great triumph over evil, where at the beginning it looked like a great defeat. Where these unlikely heroes had run as scared and frightened on the day Jesus died, now stepping forward, refusing to bend their knee to any defeat, whether it be of evil, whether it be of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who opposed Jesus, or whether it be the Roman Empire who continued to suppress and would eventually wipe out the very temple on which they were preaching on that day, these men would not succumb, and in their enthusiasm inspired how many from all over the known world to join their company as believers in this Jesus Christ. It was a day in which the proclamation of the risen Lord first hit the world, and the Word of God first started flowing over the world, a word which is described in the book of Revelation and the writings of St. Paul as a great two-edged sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus. Here it was coming out of the flame of the Holy Spirit on that Feast of Pentecost. And it all began with heads alight with flame, the flame of the Holy Spirit. We come together on this day to celebrate that reality of a Holy Spirit that continues to set our hearts aflame. I suppose one could say we couldn't have missed it any closer than we did last Saturday when we celebrated confirmation on Ascension, when the next week was simply Pentecost. Lucky those who tomorrow will be celebrating their confirmation on the Feast of Pentecost with their bishop in their parishes. But we continue that tradition of the presence of the Holy Spirit coming forth and animating the church, giving that church life, lifting that church above its shortcomings, giving it encouragement despite the church's own shortcomings, the sinfulness of the people who make up the church, that hope in the resurrection of Christ who was crucified. And while a lot of people very popularly, and perhaps according to tradition, like to refer to this day as the birthday of the church, that is not entirely the case. The tradition of the church, including the Second Vatican Council, says that the birthday of the church was in fact the day in which blood and water flowed from the side of Christ as he hung upon the cross. The birthday of the church is Good Friday, something we celebrated 52 days ago here in this parish and throughout the world. I like to refer to Pentecost not as the birthday of the church, because when you think about it, the church really existed from the very beginning with Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, that small community of the family that focused on Christ and dedicated to doing the will of his heavenly Father. It existed when he called his first disciples, saying, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." It existed even when all but 12 of a crowd of 5,000 decided to abandon Jesus when he gave his simple teaching that had great ramifications and perhaps scandalous to the imagination of those who didn't understand it, in which he said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," and all but 12 abandoned him on that day. The church existed when they gathered at the Last Supper to receive the body and the blood of Christ in the Eucharist. It existed as he hung upon the cross, a judgment witnessed by two thieves on either side, as all judgments must be witnessed by two witnesses. We see that in the crucifixion. And the church, of course, existed as it gathered in the upper room, awaiting the promised Holy Spirit. Today is not the birthday of the church. Today is the day I like to say that the spirits went into the church. It's the day that the church was launched on the world, having had the champagne bottle smashed against the hull, and it splashed its way into the world, leaving waves that still run over the world even to today. Today is inauguration day, launching day of the Holy Catholic Church on the world, in which so many things happened all at once. We have the luxury of a piecemeal progression of the story leading to Pentecost. Everything came crashing down on the world on this day as the apostles began preaching that fundamental truth that Jesus, who was crucified, has been risen. And the people looked in awe at these flame-lit disciples preaching that one who was thought to be dead and one who in fact was dead is now risen from the dead, and they are now beginning the mission that Jesus gave them, to go and make disciples of all the nations. 2,000 years later, we might think that that's kind of grown a little stale. We might think, okay, Jesus isn't coming anytime soon. We might think, okay, it's been 2,000 years. Look at where the world is. Has Christianity really made any difference? And all we need to do is look at the past, the history of our church, and the impact that it has had on the world. Our church is the mother of Western civilization. Our church is the organization that established the university system, which secularism is now trying to take over. Our church was the first to establish an organized healthcare system in one location, which we now know as hospitals. Our church was the first to gather those who were poor into one location to give them an education and teach them, especially in ways of faith, our first schools. Our church, despite the fact of giving birth to some of the worst of sinners in European history, also has given birth to the greatest of saints who have lifted the church by its bootstraps to keep it moving forward. And we certainly see the gift of the Holy Spirit in that. We are a church that even in the midst of absolute rule, of absolute monarchs, who had the power of life or death over everyone and anyone they wished, it was to that atmosphere that the church introduced something called the Inquisition. Not the Spanish Inquisition, but a system whereby if a monarch accused anyone, especially someone of importance, of heresy, he did not have the power of life or death, but rather the church came in to examine, review, and pass judgment on the accused. It was the church in the midst of a time of absolute monarchy that introduced to the Western civilization a phenomenon known as due process of law. Our church inspired people in Europe and now throughout the world to ponder the great glory of God in His creation and seek to study the intricacies of that creation to understand more deeply our God as Creator, and that is the mother of modern science that seeks to discredit the very thing that created it. Of course, we all know there are no absolute truths, except the absolute truth that says there are no absolute truths, which means, folks, there are absolute truths. And we, as a scientific people, and the most educated and intelligent people in the world, are the ones that God has chosen to bring this message to the world. Let us not grow stagnant. Let us continue to have that fire inside of us. Let us continue to have those fire alight in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, in our lives. Let us continue to grow in that faith, in knowledge of that faith, and let us never be discouraged by setbacks or what would seem to be a triumph of evil. Let us refuse to bend our knee to a supposed victory of evil and be those stubborn, unlikely people who continue to cling stubbornly to a hope that Christ has given us. And then we might astonish, who knows, 5,000 more because of our example, starting with our families, starting with our children, starting with those around us. We brought in such new people at the Easter Vigil. We can continue to bring such people day after day, year after year. Let us be the instruments whereby the Holy Spirit continues to bring about so many things all at once that bring so many people to the faith that begins with our heads alight with the flame of the Holy Spirit whom we received at confirmation. And we continue that tradition, that process, that world that still does not know what hits them, with the waves of that launching that still continues to wash over the world. Let us be people of that Holy Spirit. And as we end these 50 days of the Easter season of 2016, we go forth as people blessed by the Holy Spirit to continue to go and make disciples of all the nations.